The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
1 John chapter 2, verse 13, where the Bible says, "I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father." Now look at verse 14, the very next verse. The Bible says, "I have written unto you." So it goes from "I write unto you" to "that which I have written unto you." He says, "I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning." So he is restating the truth. He says, now first off, I want you to understand, I write unto you. In other words, I'm reminding you right now. But I'm reminding you right now, in the latter portion of this verse, or the beginning of this verse, you see that he says, I'm reminding you in verse 13. I'm reminding you right now, and then he comes down to verse 14, of things I've already reminded you of. All right, so he said, this is a fresh reminder of an old truth. So he says, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. And I want to speak this morning on what the Bible says right here, where he says, I write unto you, fathers. So what you're going to hear this morning is not something that is new. It's not something, well, I've never heard that before. It's not something that is going to be extraordinarily something that is going to make you float on the clouds, because after all, you received something that was just, if you would please, something that was just given to you by God that you've never heard before. Matter of fact, for those of you that are old timers that do study your Bible, you'll find out that there is no new written truths, but it is a Bible that does remind us over and over about the simplicity of that which is our lifestyle and which we're supposed to conduct ourselves in the way that we treat others, in, of course, the way we have a relationship with Christ. And so here's what you see. He says, I write unto you, fathers. And so statement number one, I write unto you, fathers. Now, there's two ways that you can see this verse. Of course, there's different groups that's here. You could look at this church as those that are the older people that's in a church, those that are men. And he's saying, you have a responsibility as fathers in the church, those that are older in the church. You have a responsibility to fulfill as the father type of image. You could understand that maybe John is giving this instruction, if you would please, to those that are fathers in the faith. As those that are young, that just received Christ as Savior, they certainly need people that are older in the faith. Those that are young men, as you see in the scriptures, need older men to be able to direct them, to be able to help them, to be able to guide them. And then you could see also where it's talking about perhaps those that are children in the faith, as he is trying to direct those children in the faith to those that are older, those that are fathers, if you will, please, in the faith. You know, I think we've lost something in our generation where he does say here, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him this from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I think we have lost something just in that verse alone, where those of us that are older, those of us that are fathers, if you will, please, in the faith, have not taken our responsibility seriously when it comes to mentoring, helping, guiding, discipling, being the right example, being the right type of one to follow, as we are the older ones now in the faith. It is very important that we take on the responsibility that we should take on, not just inside of the home. And I'm going to give you some startling statistics and a little bit about what's happening in America because of fatherless homes. But I think also we need to rise up and take the responsibility of being those that are fathers in the faith. Those, if you would please, that know the Word of God and know the Word of God well, to be able to direct those that are young believers, those that have just now received Christ as Savior, those that are just now coming into that which is a church and is totally foreign to them. I remember the first time I ever walked into a Fundamental Independent Baptist church, and it literally scared me to death. I remember walking in, and of course I was raised in a very religious environment and coming up with my Catholic roots, and I walked into a Baptist church, and it shocked me when I saw that there was no statues, there was no holy water, there was no kneeling benches, there was nothing like that, and I thought, wow, somebody has stolen things from this church. I mean, how in the world can you have church without those things? And then when the man of God got up and he began to preach, I'm telling you, it scared me. It scared me because I've never seen anybody leave the pulpit. I've never seen anybody that would raise their voice in church. And I never saw anybody get excited in church. I mean, we came to church, and of course, the leader of my church would get up, the priest would get up, and he would read something. We would recite it back. He would read something. We would recite it back. And it was pretty melancholy all the way. When I went to a Baptist church, there was nothing melancholy about it. I mean, people got up, and they sang, and people shouted. And by the way, we don't need to lose our shout in this church. You know, we need to be in a church, if you will, where the shout has not died out. You know, and you got truth. You ought to be able to shout about truth. Amen. I mean, the Bible says that the truth shall make you free. And if you're made free, you ought to be able to shout about the freedom that God has given you. All right, now wait a minute. Here's what we understand. The Bible teaches right here. He says, I write unto you, fathers. Now, why is it important that a dad do the things that a dad ought to do? Because there are certain things that only a dad can do. There are certain things, as we have been studying the value of families on Wednesday night, and we've been doing a great Bible study series on Wednesday nights and showing you where to plug in and playing your role as a family member. Your role as a dad, your role as a mom, your role as a child, your role as a teenager, your role as a grandparent, the principles that collate with those roles and what you're supposed to do to be able to functionally obey that principle or principles that God has given you in that role that God has allowed you to be in. And boy, we're studying those things, and those things are excited, but can I tell you this morning, there are certain things that only dad can do. Now, we have Mother's Day, and we talk about moms, but there's certain things that only dad can do. And I thank God that there was a day in our nation where we call it Father's Day, not for the honor part, but for the reminding part, for the part of remembrance. Because here's what happens. We live in such a lackadaisical society when it comes to spirituality that our dads become very, very slack. Now, we do our job when it comes to performing at work. We'll work and we'll work and we'll work because, after all, we have that God has instilled inside of us. But may I say, when it comes to spirituality in America and in most churches around America, the dads will lack the spirituality. It's normally the women that will come forward to pray. It's normally the women that go soul winning the most. It's normally the women that have the burden. And I thank God that we don't meet that statistic that's in our church. But can I tell you, in most churches across America, that's the way it is. And can I say that when he says, I write unto you fathers, it's because there's a concern about fathers being fathers. So he says, Tim and Ramon, I write on to you, fathers. All right? Fathers, as we describe fathers, what is it that a father ought to do? Statement number two, fathers are God's appointed leaders. They are God's appointed leaders. You remember that there was a day when God looked down and God said to that which was Moses, he said that you are going to be in my stead. Now, that did not mean that Moses was going to take the place of God, but that did mean that positionally he was going to be in a place whereby he represented God. May I say that dads are that way in the home. As you are, so do your children be able to receive a clear picture of who the image of God is, or they receive a clouded picture of who the image of God is. You and I were created in the image of God. You being of the male stature alone would depict that which is the masculinity of that which is Jesus Christ and his Father. And we being created in his image ought to live up to that. That's why I've said often that men ought to be masculine and not feminine. Amen. You know, because it does not depict the true image of who God is. Can I tell you, there was nothing wimpish about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you just him being a carpenter, if you would please? And there was a time where you're reading the scriptures where Joseph now is out of his life, and the Bible says, and it calls Jesus the carpenter. Can I tell you there is nothing unmasculine about carrying boards that are heavy and nailing them and putting them together. There is nothing feminine about our Savior. And it kind of makes me a little bit upset sometimes when I see pictures of our Savior and he has the long hair. Our Savior never had the long hair. But can I tell you this morning that we understand this, that fathers are appointed. God has appointed us as dads. If you look up the word, if you would please, that represents father in the Greek language, it simply means this. It means that he's a nourisher, he's a provider, he's a protector, he's an upholder. He is somebody that nurtures. He's somebody that provides. He's somebody that protects. He is somebody that upholds. Can I tell you, 25 million children, that is 36.3% of children today live without their fathers. 25 million children. 40% of the children of fatherless homes only see their dad once a year. Only once a year. While 50% of their children will grow up their entire life with never seeing their fathers out of that percentage. 63% of all youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 85% of the children that exhibit a behavior, if you would please, that is a dysfunctional, disorderly contact, if you would please, the way that they're living their lives, it's not in continuity with the way that they're supposed to live their lives, come from fatherless homes. 80% of the rapists that are existing today are from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts are from fatherless homes. 75% of all adolescent patients that are clinically abusive are from fatherless homes. 70% of all the juveniles in state-organized institutions are from fatherless homes. 85% of all the youth that's in prison today came from a fatherless home. 70% of all teenage pregnancies are from fatherless homes. 72% of Americans recently took a poll that said this, that they were absent of the dad when they made their serious wrong decisions that challenged and changed their lives. You know, it's very important that we understand as a dad that you have an appointed position. God has appointed you. I said this often, and I said, you might not respect your dad for what he does, but God has placed your dad in a position. Now, we can't get away with that, and we can't get away from that. That's not saying that that gives dad an excuse for doing wrong, but it is saying that God gave you a dad. I remember coming up in an alcohol home where my dad would come home on Fridays, and many times my dad would be drunk beyond reason, but there was never a time in my life when I stood against my dad and tried to hurt my dad. My dad had my respect because, after all, he was my dad. And it is very important, no matter what your background is, that we understand that God has allowed that person in your life that is called dad to be able to help you. And I'm sorry if he's not fulfilling his responsibility. And I'm sorry if he's not doing what he should be doing. And I'm sorry if he's not rising up and leading the way that God has told him to lead. And I'm sorry about that. But pray for him and encourage him and help him. But realize that you've only got one dad. Statement number one, I said this, I write unto you fathers. Then he says about the fathers, he said, I'll tell you what a father is. A father is that which is somebody that nourishes, somebody that provides, somebody that protects, somebody that is an upholder, if you would. It is a position that God has given those that are fathers. Not only that, but a father is supposed to provide. He is supposed to provide. Just in the word father alone, you get the definition that he is supposed to be that which is the provider. Matter of fact, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, the Bible says that he is supposed to work by the sweat of his brow. Now, here's what we got. We've got a reverse society where sometimes dad decides that he is going to stay home and mom is going to be the one that's going to go out and be the provider. May I say, the Bible says that God has instructed the dad to provide. And the Bible says that if he doesn't, that he is worse than an infidel, according to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. So he is supposed to provide. You know, we live in a society where moms are working two and three jobs, and can I tell you that when you get out of that role play and mom begins to take on that which is a fatherly position and dad is forced to take on that which is a motherly position, it doesn't quite work out the way that God had originally planned it to work out. You know, there's certain things that a mom can provide a dad never could. Oh, come on. Kid goes out and kid falls down and gets a scratch. Comes in and mom is all sympathetic. Mom says, oh, honey, my little darling, it'll be okay. You know, it gives you a hug. And most moms are tender that way. Because, you know, they had some training, so most moms are tender that way. But then you have dad says, hey, go wash it off. Go outside and play. You'll get over it. Dry your tears up. There's a difference. Now, okay, don't get mad at me. But mom, don't try to force your dad to take on feminine tendencies. God made you with emotion. Don't try and turn your husband into a woman. Ooh. Don't, come on. Now, by the way, God made you women different than men. Don't try and turn your wife into a man. Amen. Well, I just don't understand. She's always emotional about something. Just yeah. I just can't. Well, that's who she is. Hello? Well, one day my wife is, ah. Next day she's, oh. Next day she's, ah. Next day she's, oh. Next day she's, ah. Next day she's, oh. Get over it. Allow her to be, boy, I thank God that I married a woman. Hello. When God created the female and the male, those two and only those two are supposed to come together. See, that's why the society is such a mess. Man, you've got this I'm gonna get emails about this one. But you've got this homosexual agenda that's going on right now that is forcing a new type of relationship. Now, don't get mad at me unless you want to, but that's not of God. God created one man and one woman to be together for a lifetime. And our society is bent on this thing. We're turning out more feminine boys today and more masculine women than ever before. And can I say, don't do that. You teach your boy how to walk like a man. You teach your boy how to talk like a man. You teach your boy how to have masculine tendencies. Hey, stop teaching the boy to be passive. And oh, you know, and he walks along like this. Oh, quit it. Hey, teach that boy how to stand. And teach that boy how to walk. And teach that boy how to talk. And let's get back to what the Bible says about the way a man is supposed to be. Now, I'm saying that this morning, understand that fathers are supposed to provide. There's a whole lot more to that, which is just the provision of that which is finances. Well, you know, I take care of my family because I provide a good paycheck. But what about your example? What about being the right type of example? Now, can I tell you, coming to church is important for dads. It bothers me. You know, we got daddies that will just take and they will allow the lady to lead. What about spiritual dads? What about getting back to the old-fashioned way when a dad gets excited and the preacher preaches and the daddy raises his Bible or the daddy raises his hand and the daddy shouts amen? What about that? What about
about when moms are godly and they walk like moms and talk like moms and act like moms and dress like moms and carry on like moms. What about that? I'm talking about bringing a generation back. I'm talking about dads be dads and rise up and do it. A
little mama says, well, honey, I don't want to go to church on Sunday night. I'm tired. Well, why don't you lead in your house? Why don't you just tell her, honey, I'm tired too. But God has commanded us to go to church. We're going to obey God. You know, I think that our pulpits have become so passive nowadays. Well, you know, just do what you want to do. Forget it! You're not supposed to do what you want to do. You're supposed to obey the Bible. You're not supposed to govern your life the way you want to govern your life. Well, you know, I can't believe preacher said that. He hurt my feelings. Well, I'd rather you hurt your feelings and you straighten up your life than you raise a kid that's going to rise up and cause you trouble. Oh, okay. Here we go. Step number one, I write unto you fathers. You know, God said, dads, you're important. He said, you are so important, I'm going to tell you what you're supposed to do. He says, I write unto you fathers. You fathers have been given an appointed position. I write unto you fathers. You're supposed to provide. You are supposed to provide. Statement number next. Not only are you supposed to provide, you see this, that fathers are supposed to protect. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 2, where it talks about how there is a spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. You know, there's a spirit that wants your child to be succumbed to, and that spirit is the spirit of disobedience. Can I help you out with something? If your child is laughing at somebody that God has placed in authority, police officer, governor, somebody else that's in the authority, if they're laughing at that person to you, they're also laughing at you behind your back. Because there is that spirit of disobedience. Whatever happened to just good old-fashioned, honest truth that people don't want to hear nowadays, but still it is there in the Bible to be able to govern our lives. Amen. See, dad is supposed to protect. There ought to be some times, I realize it's a Sunday morning crowd, but there ought to be some times in your life when you as a dad will rise up and say, no, you will not be friends with that person. Amen. That's called protection. There ought to be some times in your life as an adult where you say, you know, that person right now is not good for you. Abstain. There ought to be some times you can do that in your life. Hello. There ought to be some times as a dad that you rise up and you say, we're not going to watch that. That's not healthy for us. And we're not going to watch it. There ought to be some times in your life where you say, this is what we're going to do, and you guide the home. Why? Because you're supposed to be the protector inside of the home. Amen. I don't know why it's so hard for us to get that. It should not be difficult. Amen. There ought to be some dads that rise up and say, you know what? I've let you watch these type of DVDs too long. No more. I've let you do this too long, but no more. I'm just afraid that here's what has happened in our society. I'm afraid that we have become so worldly influenced that we have left off spirituality. So now church is important. Bible is not important. Scripture memory is not important. Living for God is not important. We come to church like we go to a movie. We come to church like we sit in the living room. We come to church like we would go to a ball game or something like that. And you would go to those type of things. And what would happen is you go to those type of things. You sit there in la-la. And you treat church that way because that's what you're doing in your life. May I say, some of those things you ought not to be doing in your life. But because you have taken on this comfortability. Oh, come on. You know, most churches nowadays, it's come as you are and leave as you came. You know, and we have become a society, Brother Barker, where there is not preaching anymore. It's just passive teaching. Where nobody takes church as being sacred anymore. But may I say, as a dad, you ought to take it as being sacred. Whatever happened to the day when daddy said, well, the preacher said it, and I found it in the book, and so guess what? We're going to do it. Whatever happened to that? You just don't see that like you ought to see it nowadays in the U.S. I'm saying that fathers are supposed to be protectors. Stemming number next, fathers are supposed to be upholders. They're supposed to be upholders. Now, what does that mean? That means you take that which is a truth and you uphold it. When it means upholding, it's talking about standing for something. It was old Dr. Harry S. Ironside that said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So it is standing for something, to uphold something. Now, by the way, we all have values that we uphold. The question is, are they biblical values? Everybody has values that they uphold. But the question is, are they biblical values? Let me give you some more stats. You ready? 88% of all drunk drivers are men. 83% of all people arrested for serious crimes are men. 85% of all committed murders are men. A man is 25% times more likely to end up in a state prison than a woman. Men are more likely to have ulcers, die from cancer, pneumonia, liver disease, strokes, hardening of the arteries, or heart failure than anybody else. 75% of all suicides are committed by men. So, preacher, we live in such a pressure society, and now you're putting more on me? How can I do it if you're putting more on me? I can't do it now. My Bible says that His grace is sufficient for thee. My Bible talks about how as we wait on the Lord, that He'll give you strength. My Bible talks about how greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Let me show you. Brother and Mrs. Watkins, would you come, please? You know, I was going to pick on you eventually. I hadn't had you up here in a while. Watch this, if you will. Come on up. Oh, come up here with Mom and Daddy. Come here. Yeah, watch this. Is it okay? Can you do it? You okay? Ready? Okay, here we go. Watch this. Good couple. He's our Sunday school teacher. Wife helps him. She's a Sunday school teacher. He helps her. Good couple. He teaches violin in our church. So if you want to learn how to play violin, he's the man. Trains the violinists, those that would play in the orchestra and stuff. Watch, let's say that, why don't you come here and stand right here in front of Brother Jonathan, just kind of face them. Let's say that one day that she throws a fit. She gets mad. Her face is now upset. She looks like she's biting down on something with anger. Can you do that facial expression? That's really good. She is mad, mad, mad. I mean, she's just really mad. So do it again. Mad, mad. Okay, good. You've been practicing. Okay. So she's really mad. Okay. And here's what happens. Mama goes to daddy and says, I don't know what to do. You know? And so mama goes to daddy and she's all panicky. Can you panic for me? Panic? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So throwing a fit. Panic. Okay. Now here's what dad would do if dad's not careful. Dad would just go like this. This is average dad. I'm telling you, this is average dad. He'll go like this and just walk away. Yeah. And he'll think this, well, if I don't take care of it and I ignore it, It'll go away. But the problem is, she has probably got a root problem in her heart that if she doesn't take care of, eventually she'll become a spoiled brat and will rise up, not just cause mama scared, hurt. She'll cause a bunch of other people scared and hurt too. Okay? And then so goes the neighborhood, the town, the city, the state, the country. Then we all move to a different one. Okay. But it all starts inside of the home. Here's what should happen. Brother Jonathan, get your Bible. Go stand by the piano. Hold your Bible up high. Here's what it should be. He says, I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. He said, Dad, I'm telling you where your answer is. All of a sudden, child becomes rebellious. Go. Mom panics. Dad goes, but I do have an answer. So he goes to the Bible. His pastor would take, open the Bible, show him a truth. He gets the idea. All of a sudden, it comes true. Brother Watkins gets the idea. Wow, got it. He goes back, he tells mom. Now mom has peace. Mom and dad work with daughter, surrounding daughter with truth. Dad gets on one side, mom the other side. Mom gets on one side, dad the other. Surrounding daughter with truth, pointing daughter to the truth. Eventually daughter sees it. Her heart begins to soften. She begins to cry. Yeah, right. And then all of a sudden, things work out okay. The problem is, we leave the truth out. Well, I got this problem, and I've got to handle it all by myself. Who said? Who said? Well, preacher, you don't understand. My child is rebelling, and I just don't know what to do. There is a God that is in heaven that loves you, and he can help you to know what to do. Well, preacher, I tell you what, I tried that truth before and it didn't work. Try it again. Try it again. Try it again. Try it again. Now, don't give up, though. Okay, ready? Go back. Same position. I got to close. Here we go. I got to hurry. Here we go. Okay, rebel. Here we go. Rebel. Okay, mom, panic. Dad. Now, what will happen? Are you going... What will happen is this. If he doesn't run the truth, he's going to run somewhere else. Here's what they'll say. We're not going to go to church because she's embarrassing us. Or they'll blame it on the church. Or they'll blame it on somebody else. Well, I tell you what, it's that church that's causing my kid to rebel. No, no. Wake up. Smell what is really happening. It's you, Dad. It is you. Well, I don't like that. Then you get right. You fulfill your position. You do what is right. Well, my daughter, she is not good. You do what you're supposed to do is right. And eventually, at least they have somebody to follow that is right. Come on. Husband says, well, I tell you what, I want to come to church all the time, but my wife, she doesn't want to go. What do I do? You go to church. You look at her and say, honey, I miss you. Wish you would come. I miss you sitting beside me. I miss us serving God together. We could do it together. I'm not trying to be unkind, honey, but we could do it together if you get your act together. Amen. Preacher, I can't believe you said that. I'm not coming back. You're not coming anyway. It's a good day when all of a sudden both parents say, look, we just need to serve God. We played around with it long enough, hurt feelings, bad feelings, excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. We played around with it long enough. Here's what we're going to do. We will, As for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said that, not Mrs. Joshua. So somebody's got to stand and say, hey, we're going to do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Somebody's got to be the light. Come on. Here's what you've been doing. You've been waiting for your wife to become spiritual where she would come up to you and float. And she says, honey, we need to start going to church on Sunday night. Now, I love you, but in the name of the Lord, why don't you be a man? Why don't you put on your spiritual britches and say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to obey God. Come on. So I didn't expect to come to church and I'm a visitor and I've been insulted. Oh, I'd rather be insulted in church than outside of church. I'd rather come to church and hear something's going to point me the right direction. Look, if you ever want your kid to turn out, here we go. Ready? Ready? Rebel, rebel, rebel. Panic, panic, panic. God, God, God. Truth, truth, truth. Back, back, back. Encourage, encourage, encourage. Help, 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 help. Point to God, God, God. Truth, truth, truth. Rebel, 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 rebel. Keep pointing. Truth, truth, truth. Rebel, rebel, rebel. Keep pointing. Truth, truth, truth. Rebel, rebel, rebel. Broken heart, broken heart, broken heart, broken heart, broken heart, broken heart, broken heart. Right with God, right with God. Whole family following God, following God, following God. Whole family, whole family, whole family. It's not that hard to understand. It's very hard to obey. But we need some dads that will just obey.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.